Our scripture passage this evening, comes from Psalm 51. Listen to God's word. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquities, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you alone I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless when you pass judgment. Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner when my mother conceived me. You desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, as I shall be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sin and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Cast not me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from bloodshed, O God. O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing of your deliverance. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise, for you have no delight in sacrifice. If I were to give you a burnt offering, you would not be pleased. The sacrifice that is acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. They say that beauty is in the eye of the beholder. We say that when a couple that we never thought would fall in love finally does, or when we uncover something beautiful that we once thought was ugly. Or maybe when we think of all the things we do in order to be beautiful ourselves. It's why we have New Year's resolutions to exercise and lose weight. It's why people try so hard to wear the right clothes and get the right degrees, drive certain cars, or live in a particular neighborhood. Underlying theme of all of this is that we define our own beauty. We think we have to define our own beauty in order to feel special ourselves. So we work really hard to do all the right things and say the right things and do the right things so that deep down we will feel like we're beautiful. But somehow these signs of beauty never seem to be enough to make us feel beautiful. They're just like band-aids that we keep putting on over the next one and another one, afraid of what we might see if we pull off all the band-aids and see what's underneath. More often than not, we will all find ourselves at some point ashamed of actions that we've done, unwarranted anger that we've had for some moment that is silly, but at that moment seemed hugely important. The fear of inadequacy when it comes to a job or to parenting or to high school or college or what comes next, whatever it is, we've all been in that place. And it doesn't really seem to matter what we do or what band-aid we put on. It doesn't matter how many church services we go to or what committees we serve on. We never really feel like we're beautiful enough. Sometimes we even feel like we are the ashes that we put on this evening. We truly are the dust of the earth, as if it couldn't matter what we do. Our failures and our struggles are like giant scars on our bodies. And then we hear this psalm from David. And he prays this prayer of confession, listing off words like transgression and sins and blotting out evil. And for David, he had done so much. They say the psalm was written after he had been with Bathsheba. And we all know that story, right? Where David and Bathsheba slept together and had a child, and David tried to fix the whole story by having his wife, his husband, Uriah, come home and stay with his wife. And when he didn't, he had Uriah killed. Pile upon pile, these sins pile upon David. And all he can feel is the confession that he must ask God to forgive. And yet, in the midst of the psalm, there's also this other part where he talks about the transformation that happens. He uses words like, have mercy and wash me thoroughly and teach me and purge me with hyssop and wash me clean and create in me a clean heart. Such a contrast between these two stark words. Words of shame and sin and guilt over all of his mistakes and the mistakes that we might have made at some point. The ones that we hide in the back of the closet, like our balloon pants and bell bottoms that we wish we never wore, but we have still because we still love them. The things we say, that was so beautiful and it made me look really good. And now we think, oh my gosh. Versus these sacred words of forgiveness and grace that say, God loves us anyway. In Hebrew anthropology, the heart was understood to be the center of one's sin. And so when David asked God to transform his heart, he's asking for this total reorientation, to change all of these sins, all of these things he's done wrong, and reorient them into something that is right. What I think is so important about this psalm is that it reminds us what God can do to ashes. God didn't choose to start his life with us so that we can point out our shame and our guilt. He didn't start his life with us to point out the band-aids that we need. He started his life with us, with the beauty that he formed out of dust of the earth, and he blew life into it. God knows the human feelings because he created them. He knows that we feel inadequate and shameful and guilty. He knew we would feel it again and again, which is why we have this night that points us to the tension that's held between all of these words, the transforming grace that holds the contrite heart, the sacred heart with the sin and confession that David so needed and desired. Grace is one of those things that we can't really grasp, but we think we understand. We have a hard time showing grace to our coworkers when they make mistakes. We struggle to show grace to our families when things don't happen to go exactly as we wanted them to. But the hardest person it is to show grace to is often ourselves. We make excuses for our mistakes. We hold on to the problems instead of letting them go. We cling to guilt, and we try to fix the problem. But what we don't offer ourselves is that gift of grace that says, yes, you didn't live or do what you were supposed to, but God calls you beautiful anyway. So let's just move on. Grace is hard for us to understand, but what's important is that God understands it, right? Every time that I need a lesson on grace, I can always depend upon my dog, Calvin. He helps me understand grace, God's grace, not just because he's named after the theologian John Calvin, but because every day, no matter what has happened that day, what things I said to people, how much I got done, or how much of my to-do list I still have left, no matter how many times I say, oh God, I'm still a sinner, I turn the door on my front, I turn the key in my front door, and I step inside, and my dog leaps into my arms and wags his tail and kisses my nose. It's almost as if he knows that I need the reminder one more time. Even though I'm not perfect, I love you anyway. I still deserve those wags and a few kisses. Life will go on. Life keeps moving on. God's grace is similar. He gives us grace before we take part in the sin. He gives us grace no matter what we do. And God is always happy to leap into our arms and say, you are beautiful, and I welcome you into my life. God makes the broken beautiful. God turns mistakes into masterpieces, and inadequacies become inspirational. God sees us within the ashes, the beauty that's found within transformation. God does amazing things in dust. Remember all the sins David committed. He made a lot of mistakes. And yet God did some incredible things with him. He was anointed as God's own king. He led people in battles. He listened. He was faithful. He confessed. And he faithfully followed God. He's not the only one either. As I look out at our group today, I see the amazing things that God has done through each of you. The beautiful music we've heard this evening from our choirs, the voices he gives us to sing, the smiles he gives us to share, the tears we've shed on each other's shoulders, the infectious laugh that is contagious, the smiles shared, the leadership that's given, the helping hands and the kind words and the faithfulness that says God will love you anyway. God does amazing things through each of you because God calls you beautiful no matter what. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, Amen.